Get Talent podcast.
Oh, yeah. You like that, Danny?
Yeah, I love that.
You like that? Okay. Yeah, man. Love is in the air, Danny. Hey, you know this song right here, Danny?
Yes. Well, now I do.
This song is Could It Be I'm Falling in Love. Love is in the air. Valentine's Day is around the corner. My wife's birthday is coming up.
Ah,
woo,
nice.
Man, chocolate and diamonds. That's what these candidates are looking for out here. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, some of these clients are falling in love with these candidates.
Yeah, love is definitely in the air out there, right?
It's in the air, man.
It's in the market. It's in the job market.
The question is, is it too much?
Mm. Too much love.
Too much love. Is there too much love out here for these candidates? Are they falling in love too fast with these candidates?
It could be. We're going to talk more about it, right? It could be.
It could be, Danny. It could be, Danny. Today, we have a very fun show for y'all today. Welcome to the Get Talent Podcast. I am your host, Ben Cross, and I'm here with my co-host, Danny Herskowitz. Danny, how you doing today?
Doing good today.
Man,
doing
we got good. A fun show today, huh?
Yeah, this is a topic that I'm really excited to talk to you about.
What are we talking about today, Danny? Tell them what we're talking about.
We're talking about falling in love.
Falling in love? This is a talent podcast, Danny. What are you talking about, man?
Well, you know, it's funny because we always compare the kind of the hiring process, the recruitment process to dating a lot, right?
Yeah.
There's
it
a lot
is.
Of
it's a courting process, right?
Yeah.
Professional dating, professional courting.
Yeah. So we always, you know, kind of joke about it, but you know, the more we've joked about it, the more we've realized that there's actually some things we can talk about here. You know, there's actually some advice we can give people because we see this.
The parallels are too precise.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's happening out here is just like the dating scene, you have the haves and the have-nots. You have some people who are very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants to date them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you meet that person and you're just like, I can't stop thinking about them. And it happens in the job search too. It happens with these candidates.
It does. It does.
And let me ask you, Danny, when we talk about falling in love with a candidate, what does that look like to you, Danny, as a recruiter?
You know, we've seen this with these interviews that take place. You know, a candidate will meet with one of our hiring managers, one of our clients, and immediately after the interview, they'll either get an email, hopefully a call.
This is like that call right after the first day, like, Danny, bro, I got to tell you, it went really good.
Exactly.
I really like this. This could be the one.
This could be the one. I think you did it this time. You found it.
You're the one.
And of course, right, as a recruiter, that's the best news we can ever hear.
Yeah, we want them to live happily ever after, right? We want them to have a wonderful, loving relationship. We want to go to the wedding. Mazel tov.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Break the glass. You know, everyone's ready.
Have a nagila. Let's go. Hop on the chair. Let's go. Grab a leg.
Yes, exactly. So they're ready. I mean, they're ready to do it. Let's go down the aisle, right?
And they almost like don't even have eyes for any other candidate, right? At that point.
No.
Right?
They don't want to see. They don't want to see anything else.
You know what? That reminds me of another amazing song here. You know this one?
Oh,
we're busting out all the classic love songs today, right?
I thought of this one.
When that client meets that candidate, ooh, shabop shabop, it happens.
Yeah.
Shabop shabop.
Yes, and you know the client, they get this rush.
Yeah,
the butterflies.
Oh yeah, and this is like the song "I Only Have Eyes for You," right?
Yeah,
and that makes our job really hard.
Yes.
Why does that make our job so hard?
It can make our job hard when a client will really get attached to one person. And the real issue is when that person doesn't feel the same way.
Story of my life, Danny.
Yeah, me too. Trust me. I get it. I know. That's why I'm love talking about this.
Yeah, because the candidates are like, hey, I'm out here. I'm down to date, you know. I'm down to have a good time, you know, meet people, see what's out there, play, you know, like my Grammy always told me, he said, Ben, you gotta play the field.
Yeah, exactly.
I always thought that was odd advice to get from your grandmother. Yeah, so we go out here and our job is to put, you know, several highly qualified A-player candidates in front of our client. And sometimes we put an A-plus in front of them. Sometimes we put a dime piece out there, Danny, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden now the client falls in love, only has eyes for that 10 out of 10, right? Checks all the boxes and then some. Boxes they didn't even know they needed checked. And then that makes our job really hard. Because the thing about A-plus players is they can date anybody. They can go get a job anywhere. And if they're looking, if their profile is public, if they're on Bumble, if they're on Hinge, right, they're going to get a lot of swipes, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what's out here in these candidates in their marketplace, right? And they're talking to a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you think when you go on a date with somebody that they're only dating you.
That's a good point.
It's not always the case. And more in the information age, that's rarely the case. I don't think a client should ever be under the assumption that the candidate is only dating them.
Exactly.
It's a highly inefficient way to execute a job search. I'm going to go through a 4 to 6 week interview process one at a time. No, I'm going to do it concurrently. Because I can't be unemployed or unhappy in my current job for 6 months. So I can't date y'all like that. You know, my clock is ticking right now. Yes. I got to settle down with somebody.
Right.
You know?
And need some comparisons, you know?
Yeah, like, need some comparisons. We talk about the beauty contest sometimes that these clients put our candidates through, right? Where they want to have three great candidates, you know, up on the proverbial stage, side by side, American Idol, right?
Yeah.
Well, the candidates are doing this to the clients also. Because let's not forget, there's still two open jobs for every job seeker in this country right now.
Mm.
So if you don't think, if you're a talent person, if you're an internal recruiter, if you're a hiring manager and you don't think you're being put on stage and being put through a beauty contest process, you know, you got another thing coming to you.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to think that way, even though these like analogies come off really, really funny, but I think they're easy to understand. That's why I really like them.
Yes.
So let's talk about why this happened.
Yeah.
And I thought about it and I think there's a couple of things. So the first one is something called confirmation bias. Have you ever heard of that?
You know what? I've heard of it, but I can't tell you exactly what it means. What does it mean?
Yeah. So according to Britannica.com, I didn't know people still go there, but I mean, it's a website now.
Hey, you're going there. You're keeping them in business, man.
But I'm going there. I mean, so.
for the kids out there, Danny, if you're a fan of the Spinners or you know songs like I Only Have Eyes for You, you may remember the voluminous Encyclopedia Britannica that you would keep in your home. It was everybody's favorite set of leather-bound books.
Mm-hmm. Remember the infomercials? But it's basically a bias that results from the tendency to process and analyze information in a way that it supports the person's pre-existing ideas and convictions.
Yeah, I do this all the time.
Yeah, we all do it. We all do it, right?
Yeah.
Everybody does it. Basically, the reason we do it is because it's very hard for us to process information. There's so many different things coming our way. So what's the easiest thing to do is just to go with what we know. And
go
we
with
just
what
make
we
that
know.
Yeah.
And I think the older we get too, the more set in our ways we are, I think, too, as far as we have these beliefs in our head and they become kind of calcified and fossilized in our brains and they're immovable.
So that's what happens. You know, the hiring manager will meet this candidate and likely they, you know, the reason for them falling in love is this confirmation bias. You know, they're just making this quick emotional at times decision.
Yes.
Without knowing all the facts.
Yeah. And the other one, too, that I love that you talk about is, and going back to the dating analogy, if you've been single for a long time, right? Sometimes you come off a little desperate. Sometimes you're a little thirsty.
Yeah.
You know? So if you've had this need at the, if you've had this need within your company for a long time, if you've had a vacancy in this role, if you've, if you're the hiring manager and you've basically been doing two jobs because you haven't had this team member on your team, or if it's a sales role and the revenue's been down for so long, your pipeline's looking putrid, you know, you need that sales infusion.
Yes.
There's a need that gets so painful within an organization that it results in a job requisition. There, if there was no pain in an organization, there would be no job requisition. There'd be no job order for a recruiter, right? So the question is, how much pain is there? And I submit to you that the more pain, the more time you take to post, the more pain there will be, and then the more thirsty you're going to be in the vetting process. When you find that bright, shiny quality of that candidate, like you said, right?
Yeah.
You're going to really get sprung.
Exactly. Exactly. And it could be that people are, you know, they're thinking back to when they've been hurt by a candidate and they don't want to, they don't want to lose that again. Maybe they didn't show up for the interview. Maybe they didn't answer their call, you know?
Yes. And then the emotion comes into it, right?
Yes.
Because what happens when somebody stands you up on a date?
You feel terrible.
Yeah. That's
bad. Like an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're not even angry at the person. You're usually angry at yourself.
Yeah.
Like, what did I do?
You're like a schmuck, right?
You're what did I do?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So then all this emotion comes into the hiring process. Another reason why you don't wait so long to go to the market and post the job. You should always be recruiting before the pain becomes so great that all these other bad behaviors creep into the process.
Yeah. You can think with a clear head that way. That's
yes. Clear, analytical. You have time to go through the process in a proper way, to vet a fair amount of candidates. You know, you're not just going to marry the first one you interview. You know, now we don't advocate for going and interviewing six and having to have a final, best and final with three and having this, you know, very, you know, big process. But at the same time, you also don't want to be in a position where you have to hire the first person that checks your box.
Yeah. No one wants to get divorced after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know,
it's catastrophic. It's catastrophic in real life. It's catastrophic in the, you know, in the professional world too.
100%. 100%. So I wanted to flip it a little bit, Ben, because, you know, I know this is something that, that you've, you know, I guess experienced. In working with some of our clients. So I wanted to ask you, you know, there's been a few experiences you've shared with me. What's that been like? You know, what have you seen, you know, with candidates and clients, you know, falling in love with each other?
Yeah, I mean, it's always great when they fall in love with each other. It's not great when one falls in love and the other doesn't. And oftentimes we know, we think of candidates falling in love with a job and not getting it. And I think we've all been that candidate that's applied to a job, told our family, we think this could be the one. We're so excited, you know.
Yeah.
Premature bottle of champagne comes out and you get the, you know, you get the call. Yeah. Hey, we decided to go another direction. Feels like you got dumped. But what we don't think about more often, because less of us have been in this position, is being the hiring manager at the, you know, at the company and falling in love with that A player candidate and then rejecting the offer.
Yes.
You fall in love with them. You submit, you know, an offer to, you only have eyes for them.
Get on a knee. Get down on that.
Get down on one knee. You pop open the box and the candidate tells you your diamond's just not big enough. They say, they look at it and they say,
that's it.
Will you marry me? You know, and that can feel really, really rough, right? Because in the process of doing that, I stopped dating other people. I thought we were going steady. I thought you were wearing my Letterman jacket, you know. I thought this was a done deal. You know, I got a promise ring and everything. And I stopped dating other candidates. I stopped vetting other candidates. And now I'm back to square one.
I
feel totally like my whole process is obliterated. I'm back to square one, and now I got to pick myself up off the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm desperate, and I got to get back in the scene, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I got to go, I got to start dating other people from scratch. I forget how to do it. I forget what a first interview feels like. I forget the process. I'm just, my head's spinning. I'm on the, I'm looking for a rebound. I'm looking for something right now. I need that Mr. Right Now candidate, right? Because now I'm so far behind in my hiring process that I have to take the next best thing that checks my box. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you start scrambling. And that's when they reach out to us, Danny. Right. And hey, what about the Joanna? We liked her, can you see if she's still available, Danny? And is she available?
Exactly.
Is she available, Danny?
Is Joanna, she available?
Well, the number two candidate.
Well, yeah, she's available.
No, she's not available, Danny.
Wait, you see another number people. Two.
She's number two, but she didn't. Oh, yeah. Wait, okay. For you, you went and got engaged with somebody else.
Right.
So
that's
what's she gonna do? She was dating other people too the whole time. Mm. Right?
Right.
So she got an offer and she settled down and they have a nice house in the suburbs in Long Island. Right? And she's happy. Now, would she be more happy with you? Sure, but you went and dated somebody else.
Yeah.
And now Joanna settled down, living in a nice house in Long Island. So the key is, like my grandma used to tell me, Ben, you got to play the field. And you got to keep these candidates warm. You can't fall in love with just one.
Yeah.
You got to kind of keep them all in progress. Now, you're going to always have a favorite, but you got to keep a couple in the...
Yeah.
You know, you don't got to necessarily see them every Saturday night, but your Tuesday coffee or something, you know, you got to work something in there. That's, I don't know. That's my thought.
Yeah, no, I love all those points. And that, you know, to me, I think about like, well, actually, let me ask you a question. Like, what would actually be your advice to someone who's a hiring manager and they're dating or interviewing and, you know, they start to sense that they might not feel the same way? You know, what are some of those things that you can look out for as a hiring when you get that sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if this is the one. I don't know if they're into me. Like, what are some of those signs?
I mean, it's the same thing on a first date, you know, right? You start talking about your future and they don't engage, right?
Yes.
Like, oh, you know, when you get on board here, you know, if this works out, when you get on board here, we'd love to have you, doing this over here and take a perhaps you could take on this project and they're like, okay.
Right.
You know, if you're talking in terms of them coming on board and they're not, that's a signal they may not be that into you. Mm. When you start throwing out numbers, which is a buying signal, you know, you start kind of talking about numbers and they're kind of like, oh, well, let's wait and see. And when they start talking about other people, they're still dating. Yeah, that's great. I got two more interviews though, and I'm kind of down the process with this other person. And I mean, they'll come out and tell you straight up, like sometimes.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. And you know, and feel like sometimes the stronger you come off, like in dating, it can repel the people that you're doing it to, unfortunately, right?
So you
think
have
it's going
to
help, but...
Exactly. It's a dance, right? So you have to be attractive to the candidate, but you can't seem desperate.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And you don't want to let on that the candidate has the upper hand in the negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is still a candidate-driven market. I know we think the market's flipping. We think. It's been so strong candidate for so long. That's softening, but it's still a candidate-driven market. We get new recs every week working for candidates,
right.
You know, trying to find these candidates. It's a candidate-driven market.
Yeah.
You know, especially for these, high, you know, skilled niche roles, right?
Sure.
So it's a funny dance here of attracting that candidate, but also letting them know where they're at in the process, and they still have to basically show you their commitment. And I also think it's like, you don't bust out the engagement ring on the first or second date.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that you have to have incremental progress and commitment on both sides. You have to kind of match the intensity and engagement and inclination towards commitment of the other party. You don't want to come out and just be like, hey, you want to have kids? You want to get married in 6 months? You know, what kind of ring do you like? You like emerald cut? You like princess cut? You know, I'm just thinking, you know, just want to be ready. You don't do all that. You know,
right.
You just kind of, you have conversations that are appropriate for the stage that you're in.
So we have a podcast, of course, Get Talent.
I think people that are listening to this know that, Danny.
They know that.
On a limb.
They know that.
I think they know it.
And one of those episodes on the Get Talent podcast was called Hire Fast. And we talked about, you know, if you find this candidate you love, don't wait.
Gotta lock it down. Put a ring on.
Lock it down. So obviously we believe there are situations you should do this, right? That you should elope. You should just go in.
Going to Vegas.
Yeah, go to Vegas. Where do you think are those situations where it's okay to fall in love and just do it? Just jump in.
I'll tell you what. I keep talking about my Grammy, right? So this is what my Grammy and her second husband, my grandfather, did. So her first husband was killed in World War II. He was flying and he got shot down. So when she met my grandfather, her second husband, Dan B. Cross Sr., my namesake, they fell in love very quickly. And he said to her, if there was a church open right now, I'd marry you. And she said, I know one the next town over. And they went over there, woke the minister, and she locked him down. Okay.
That's funny.
And
yeah,
then it was a beautiful marriage. It lasted a long, forever and ever. And they were happily ever after. I think when both parties express their desire to move forward and there's a conviction in both of their hearts, that's when you say, you know what? Screw it. Let's do it. You know?
Yeah.
I think that's when you say, you know what? I think they're amazing. They think I'm equally amazing. Let's do this thing.
Yeah. So they're ready to move at the same pace as you.
Yes. The trick is to suss that out without freaking them out. The key is to trial close them on their desire to accept an offer before you get down on one knee.
And
this is good counsel for the gentlemen out there who are thinking of proposing in the future. You should know her answer before you get down there. If you don't know her answer before you get down on one knee, it's going to be a long time on that knee. It will fall asleep and you will have to return that ring. Okay. No, you need to talk. You need to chocolate. And that's the beauty of using a recruiter partner, because you and I can have these conversations with the candidate to the effect of, if you got an offer for $120,000, would you accept it? Yes, I would. Or no, I'm dating other people. I have to see what happens with these interviews. Or I'm still not certain. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Okay. That tells me we need to go back to our client and say, whatever you do, don't try to put a ring on it. Don't bring the ring to the first date.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's a great way to do it.
Let's do some more dancing here. Okay. And then we can look at closing this thing second or third interview.
Yes. Yes, that's
great. That's why you use your external recruiting partners. And there's also the difference between external recruiters and internal recruiters, because they won't tell an internal recruiter if they'll accept 120, but they'll tell an external recruiter they'll accept 120. Mm-hmm. They won't tell an internal recruiter, I'm trying to negotiate this thing, or I might get a counter from my current employer, or you know, all the reasons, the things that could happen. But they'll be more likely to tell their external recruiting partner.
Yep.
Right? Because where they're at, I mean, we are in the privileged position of being the advocate of both parties.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and we can go to the candidate and ask them, like, hey, are you really ready to do this? Like, is this something you want? Like their friend.
Yes,
almost.
Exactly.
That's counseling them before they're about to get married. It's like, you know, is this person the one? Are you sure you want to do this? You know, are you ready to get started? I mean, could you get married in a week? Can you get married in 2 weeks, or is it next year? Or do you want to kind of hold off?
Yes. Is it next year? Do you have a bonus that's coming up in the fourth quarter? Do you have a big client in your pipeline you're going to close?
Yeah.
Are you up for a promotion in May? Do we need to revisit this next year, or is it a now decision?
Yeah. But either way, you got to let them know, because the more that it drags on, you know, the harder they're going to fall.
Yeah. So what can someone do to avoid getting attached to one candidate?
So the first thing is having a structured interview process with, I would say, at least two people in the interview process.
Okay.
So that way you can have two different opinions. It'll help with the confirmation bias to have somebody else in there.
Yes.
To bounce ideas off of.
This is why when you meet a nice person, and what do? When you think you're about to marry them?
You talk to someone else about it.
Yeah, and you bring them home to meet the family. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And then
you
they
skip
interview
that family
them.
Step is bad
right.
news, right?
Right.
You
That's
need
right.
someone else to say, you know, I know you like this person,
mm-hmm.
but have you noticed their credit is terrible. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that, you know, like, have you noticed this thing?
Yeah, yeah. That's important, though. That's important because those are people we trust, and you need that. You need other people to help you with those decisions. And
100%. What else should people do to avoid getting attached to one candidate?
What we've seen could work really well is assessments.
Like, what kind of assessments? Give me an idea when you say assessments. What are you talking about?
There's a couple we've seen. Mainly the PI assessment, the predictive index. We've seen from our clients that they administer a cultural index.
CI, yeah, I'm a big fan of the cultural index.
Yeah, the CI. Those are the two big ones. I know a lot of clients use DISC.
DISC profiles, for sure. Yeah. We've done DISC profiles, too.
Yep.
So how does that work into the recruitment process? How does that work with external recruiters? Do we do that? Do they do that? How do we facilitate that?
A lot of times our clients will do that either before meeting the person or after. You know, we usually suggest that they meet the person first before doing that assessment, just to get to know them.
Yes. Do not send an assessment before you've had your first interview.
Exactly.
Do not send a questionnaire about how many kids do you want to have before the date, so you have talking points.
Exactly.
Okay, because it'll
freak
people out. They're not going to fill out the assessment or questionnaire.
Yeah.
And they may not even show up to the interview.
Yeah. Whoa. I don't even know your name, and you're asking me
personal information.
Yeah. You're
trying to psychologically profile me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Build trust first.
Yes. Yeah. And then the other thing you could do is reference checks. So like when I got married to my wife, Esther,
I just pictured you doing reference checks on Esther right now. You're calling up people. Hey, you notice Esther? You notice, lady? Yeah. She says she lived by you. That's true. Yeah. What were the years that she lived on Esther? Yeah. What was her title at the time?
Exactly. Well, they did it to me. So
they did it to me.
So it wasn't her, it was me. So her father used to work with a good friend of mine's father, who I grew up with, and I was coming over for the weekend to meet him, go on the second interview. I was meeting her parents.
You're on the second, yeah.
And then he came over to me, my father-in-law. He said, I did some research, and everything's okay.
He checked out.
The reference checked out. But you know what? I was a little bit like, whoa, like, you know, you're looking into me, you know? But,
hey, let me put the shoe on the other foot. Lily comes home with a guy.
Yeah,
you exactly. Looking into him? You're looking into
same
him?
Same thing. Yeah. I'm doing the same thing. That's right.
You're giving him a CI, a DISC, a PI. Yeah. You're giving him a cup to pee in. You're
That's
doing
right.
all sorts of stuff.
Exactly. So I get it, you know?
That's great. That's so great. I love it. I love this analogy because it really does go all the way, you know? I mean, you can really take this dating and this hiring analogy
so true.
All the way. And I hope it doesn't freak people out that we're talking like this. But I mean, it's just so hilarious to me. And we started talking about it, we're like, this is so funny. It's just so many parallels. It's like the exact same process. You just keep your pants on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's it. That's the only difference. And then
what else can you do? Anything else people might try or might think of?
Yeah. So I read, an article in the New York Times, about how to hire the right candidate. And one of the tips that they had was to share a meal with them, if it's in person, right? So maybe don't, you know, take them to this stale place, you know, like the office or, you know, this kind of dry, boring date.
Oh, yes, I know. Don't take them to the office cafeteria for a turkey sandwich.
Exactly. Exactly.
They got the rest of their life.
Yeah.
If they're lucky, eat that turkey sandwich at the office.
Yes.
Impress them. Woo them. People have to understand this is you're selling the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Woo them just like you would someone in your personal life.
Exactly. And people forget that. So I think, you know, you want to take them out. You want to take them to a nice place. Definitely don't let them pay. You know, you got to pay for it.
Oh, that'd be a huge red flag if I was a candidate and I had to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Candidates ask me all the time, like, they want to fly me in for an interview. Are they going to book the ticket? I'm like, they better.
Yeah.
Let me find out. I'll fire them. Let me find out if they make you book the ticket.
Right. Right, exactly. So that, yeah, that's definitely a good sign for a candidate.
All right, so you're taking them out to a nice meal.
Yeah.
You're paying, you know, the hiring manager's paying for the dinner.
Yeah.
What else is going to happen at that meal?
Yeah. So, you know, you're falling in love. But take a step back as a hiring manager when you're there and watch them in this setting, right? So you're dating them. See how they talk to the person who's serving you food. Do they make eye contact with you? Mm. Is there something off about them? Do they get angry? Do they get irritated? Can they keep a conversation going, right? So they start to reveal a lot of their personality sometime out of this formal setting, because you just start acting a little bit more natural and these different things are coming at you. So you can pick up on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I think this is a good environment to start vetting for things like culture, soft skills, team, you know, the ability to work in a team setting, the ability to collaborate with people, the, you know, polite to servers thing. I've heard that a lot, you know. The keep the conversation going, I mean, that is a strong preference for me, but I also don't want to have a bias against introverts and people who aren't necessarily conversational, and also people who are neurodiverse, right? Right. So if they're, you know, on the autism spectrum or something like that, right? And you're interviewing them for some sort of a, you know, perhaps an accounting job or a customer service job or whatever. Yeah. But those types of social skills aren't always a requisite. And sometimes we overvalue or over index for likability and under index for other characteristics, which are key.
Yeah, I think people generally just make that like this thing that you have to have, and just
if I like them, they must be good at the job. Like, well,
exactly. So yeah, I mean, I think that that's things that hiring managers do. Anything else that they can do, Ben?
I think you're spot on here with everything, and I'm a big fan of a good meal. I think you learn a lot about breaking bread, you know, by breaking bread with people.
Yeah,
I'm very big about getting very candid and vulnerable with people and really seeing who they are as a person. And like, tell me your story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Gary Vee talks about this. Like, he'll sit down with Candy, like, tell me your story. You know, and when you say, tell me your story, first of all, it's interesting to see how far people go back, right? Oh, I was born in Brooklyn. You know, it's like, how far back are they going to go, right?
Yeah.
And then also the way that they frame themselves in their career, I think is interesting. What their formative years, what made them who they are? Do they have that grit? Do they have that determination? Are they motivated by something that's bigger than themselves, right? Do they have purpose? They talk about purpose. I really look for purpose, you know? So when I'm having these conversations over dinner, I'm really comparing that to my core values as a company, values that we say we hire and fire for. And those are the kind of things I look for, again, because it's a marriage, right? And you want it to last. And, you know, you want to be equally yoked, as my Grammy would say, with your partner, right? I look for all those things. And I think the meal is a really wonderful way to do that. I don't think we do enough meals together outside of the business development realm. I think that's definitely an in-person thing that we're going to have to get back to. But I love the meal setting.
Yeah. I love that when I saw that, and I agree. And we did that with someone who's joining us. You know, we met them and we met him in person and we got to know him. He was great. And it was so different doing that as opposed to over Zoom, right? Like just, you know, or even in the office. Like I thought that was just a great setting.
Yeah, the first meeting outside the office, I think signals to a person that the company, yourself as their hiring manager, which is also the number one predictor of someone's happiness and engagement in their job, right? The people don't quit jobs, they quit bosses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that you care about them as a person,
because
you're meeting them as a person. When their first interaction is at the office, then that contextualizes the rest of the relationship. Mm-hmm. It is a business relationship. I like to have personal relationships with our people. I hope to always be able to do that no matter how big our company gets. But I want people to know that we care about them as a person, and because I want them to bring their whole person to work. And I believe that people are more productive when they're bringing their whole person to work along with their purpose and all their motivations. Right. And so anyway, I mean, that's a long winded way to say, you know, I think whenever you get married to a candidate, whenever you hire a candidate, you really want to know who they are deep down inside.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. And you want them to know who you are too. right? Because it's so funny. We give these candidates cultural indexes and DISC assessments and profile, but they don't get anything on us.
Right.
Right? They're not. We're not giving them our DISC profile and saying, you know, well, I'm kind of a high D, and you know, I hope you can handle that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I always tell candidates to ask them questions.
Yeah.
To ask, don't be scared to ask questions because, number one, I mean, it's going to show that, you know, you're genuinely interested if you are interested in them. And you just want to find out more information for yourself, you know?
Yeah. So. For sure. So any final thoughts here around not falling in love with the candidate?
Well, I just want to say, I don't want people to stop falling in love, and become jaded.
Yes, we're not anti-love people.
Yeah, I just want to put that out there, right? I think we're both probably hopeless romantics at
yes,
heart.
We are. Yes.
But don't stop falling in love, but think about it, right? Talk to your recruiter, get their opinion. Oh, is there anyone else out there for me that might be better? Because you know what? This person, I don't think they're feeling it. And no one to let go. That's what my advice would be.
Love it. Another amazing Get Talent podcast.
Great podcast.
Listen, love those candidates. Just don't fall in love too early and make sure they love you back.
Yeah, exactly. Plenty of other fish.
Love it. Lots of fish in that sea. Use an external recruiter. We're really great at fishing and we've seen a lot of fish and we'll give you some perspective on it. Thanks, everybody, for watching the Get Talent Podcast. I've been your host, Ben Cross, joined by my co-host, Danny Herskowitz. We're both at Glomo, and we hope you really like this topic. If you like this topic, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you watch or listen to podcasts, Spotify, all of them. Also, if you have podcast conversation themes, topics you want us to get into, please connect with us on LinkedIn. Send us a message. Let us know. We're always looking to answer your questions here on Get Talent Podcast. Can't wait to do this again with you, Danny.
Neither can I. We got to. Yeah, this was great.
Awesome.
Love this topic. Yeah.
Take care, y'all. We will see you next week.
Take care.
Get Talent Podcast.